As they attended the G20 summit last week, President Trump and the leaders of Mexico and Canada signed a replacement for NAFTA called the USMCA. Even as that potential stabilization of one aspect of trade took place, the war between the U.S. and China continues with mutual tariffs and taxes. Though Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping have agreed to a 90-day period without the imposing of new tariffs. How much of an impact could the trade tension, though, continue to have? And could Mexico take advantage of the rift? With me to talk about that is David Dollar, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution's Thornton China Center. David, has the U.S.-China trade war entered dangerous territory for the economy?
I think we can say that this is an inflection point. The U.S. has introduced a certain amount of protection against China. First, 25% tariff on $50 billion of products, then 10% on $200 billion. Those are modest numbers in the context of the U.S. and Chinese economy. So I would say you've got, you know, they've got the Chinese attention, but so far it's not big enough to have a real dramatic effect. But the risk is that some of that will escalate and it may expand to cover all of the imports from China. China has retaliated to some extent. So this is a moment where the two sides might decide to step back and negotiate some kind of truce.
Do both sides know what they're doing and what they're getting into? How calculated is this on both sides?
I think there's a risk on both sides that they've misjudged the situation to some extent. The Trump administration seems to think that the Chinese economy is in terrible shape. That's an exaggeration. It was already slowing down before the trade war started, or maybe we should call this a trade skirmish so far. The trade issues are certainly having some effect on China, but they're still growing at 6.5% and creating the jobs they need. So I think it's a miscalculation to think that China is in a desperate situation. The Chinese, on the other hand, you know, they have a long history of negotiating with the U.S. and thinking they can just wait out the different administrations and make some vague promises. And they've been treating Trump similar to the way they've treated other administrations, and this may prove to be a miscalculation.
Here in Arizona, we think a lot about our trade relationship, our economic relationship with Mexico. If, in fact, tariffs price some Chinese goods out of the U.S. market, if, in fact, that does happen, is Mexico there to benefit from that sort of thing?
Mexico's in a really complicated situation because the U.S. is its number one trading partner, but China is its number two trading partner. So there is a risk that Mexico gets caught in the crossfire. I think if we stay at this moderate level of trade interference or trade protectionism, or if it ratchets up a little bit, there are going to be some sectors where Mexico benefits. And I'll come back to that in a second, but then let me quickly add, if this really escalates into a full-blown trade war between the U.S. and China, it's inevitably going to hurt Mexico because both the U.S. and China will slow down, and that'll end up having more effect on Mexico than gains in one or two sectors.
Where is Mexico's power as it lies? Because we think of, obviously, the U.S. and China being juggernauts when it comes to the economy. How far behind them is Mexico? Because we could talk about how if in fact this does escalate even more, Mexico's certainly not big enough in and of itself to fill a void like that.
Right. I mean, you know, Mexico, it's a pretty big country, but it's small in economic size. It's small relative to both China and the United States. So it's not going to have that much influence in how this plays out. That's why if it escalates into something serious, the main effect will be a macroeconomic one that the U.S. will slow down, China will slow down, and that has to hit Mexico. But as you were hinting, I think there could be some sectors where Mexico benefits. Mm-hmm. I believe we're already seeing that in the auto sector to some extent. You know, we have this deep integration between China, between the U.S. and Mexico as part of the original NAFTA. That's going to be enhanced under the new NAFTA if it's approved. But people often don't realize under the old NAFTA, about 40% of the value of a North American car could be imported from outside of North America. And Chinese auto parts have become an important part of the auto value chain for North America. That's taxed right now as part of these tariffs I mentioned. And even if they go away, I think industry is going to feel that that there may not just be reliable supply from China to the U.S. in this political environment. And so Mexico may be able to get a bigger piece of the auto industry, for example, producing parts that would otherwise be produced in China. It's a big sector that could have some positive effect on Mexico's economy.
What are some other trade partners, obvious though they may be, that China has turned to, would turn to, if the U.S. trade war escalates?
Right. Great question. I think that's another reason why the U.S. is overestimating its leverage on China, because China has already gradually been shifting away from the U.S. market. It trades, its biggest trading partner is the European Union. It has a lot of integration with Asian economies like Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and it's selling more in the developing world, including Latin America. So China's become the big trade partner for most Latin American countries. China's the biggest partner for most of Southeast Asia. China's naturally shifting away from the U.S. market toward these other growing areas. That's happening regardless of trade policy. Then if you bring in the trade war, that just accelerates the movement of China away from the United States.
Is there any circumstance, I'm exaggerating a bit, any circumstance under which the U.S. and China could even for a period of time sort of wash their hands of each other and just decide this is too much, this fight is real?
Right. So there's a faction in Washington, and I think it cuts across both political parties, that would like to see the U.S. decouple from China. I'm not sure this is a word anywhere in the United States other than in Washington, but we spend a lot of time talking about decoupling. The idea is we've developed these very deep value chains in electronics, and increasingly China is exporting auto parts to the U.S., as I said. The thinking is that U.S. really can't coexist with China. The systems are too different. It's a communist dictatorship. It's doing a lot of things around the world we're unhappy with. And so the logic of that argument is that we really should decouple. And I think the problem with that argument is our partners, our big partners like the European Union, Japan, Southeast Asia, Australia, they're not going to go along with this because they get enormous benefit from their economic relationship with China. Mexico will be in a really complicated place if we go down this decoupling road. It'll be very costly economically. I think whatever Mexico does, if it goes along with the U.S., it'll be isolating itself from the rest of the world. If it doesn't go along with the U.S., that's going to be very hard given they're right there on our border. So, you know, I hope down in Mexico they're having a good discussion about this because this could create a lot of geopolitical problems.
David Dollar is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution's Thornton China Center.